Hello and welcome to See Nobody Cares, the podcast where we talk about whatever we want because nobody is listening anyway. Today is episode number 23. I am your host, Ollie Schaus. With me, as always, my co-host, Ballgame. Ballgame, how are you doing today?
You know, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed today, Ollie, but I've persevered, I have fought through, and I'm here and I'm good to go.
Are you still Grumpy Bear?
No, I had a great week, but, you know, just something today. I'm not sure what it was, you know?
Well, maybe
I didn't sleep well. Maybe it has something to do with the Mariners absolutely sucking ass right now. I don't know. Maybe that's it.
All right. You mentioned baseball, so I just have to say, I turned off the Padre game last night. It was 8-0. I had a kind of a stressful day. I was like, I'm not going to sit here and watch them, you know, lose another game in a pitiful manner. And woke up to find they won that game 9-8.
Yeah, you missed out. They scored like what, 7 runs in the 7th inning, and they came back with a 2-run home run in the 8th by Miguel. Like, it was perfect. But I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it either.
I'll watch it on replay, MLB.tv. So, So, James, we have guests today. Not guest, guests.
We have guests, and we have a Roosevelt power couple with us today, if you will. So, ladies and gentlemen, please join me. Let's meet the Robinsons, Lauren and Ross. How are you guys tonight?
Hi, we're wonderful. I literally gasped because I've always wanted to be part of a power couple.
You did it. Congratulations. You're there. Yay. All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show. That's it. Can you follow our involvement? You've been listening to Steam Bell. I'm just kidding. We just tweaked real early, I guess.
He made my day.
There was some baseball talk, and then we were called a power couple, and thank you, good night.
Right, and look, I think you get a title bell with that now, right?
I sure. We'll hang a third one in the living room.
We are excited to have you guys join us tonight. You're big in the Roosevelt's community. You guys also are big in the online podcast YouTube community. So I have it on good faith or good knowledge that you guys actually met via podcast. So there's a podcasting love story here. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It is. Yeah. I will let my beautiful bride speak on it before I talk on it, but my version of makes me sound like a jerk. So let her talk.
Oh, I can't wait for part two. This is going to be great.
But honestly, smart man letting your wife go first. Very smart.
Yeah, it's a good story, I think. Anyway, so, you know, my podcast started as a pandemic baby, like a lot of podcasts did. Russ's did not. His started just before the pandemic, and then the pandemic kind of busted up his podcasting plans.
We had such grand plans before the pandemic.
Yeah. So, you know, I put my little podcast baby out in the world. The Beard Owl Podcast is a podcast where we talk about two of the greatest things in the world, beer and Weird Al Yankovic. And just merrily plugging along, doing our thing. And, you know, there's a very active podcasting community on what was then known as Twitter. And I connected with a whole bunch of podcasts, and Russ's podcast happened to be one of them. It was a music. It was, is still sort of.
Ish.
Ish. A music podcast. And so mine, you know, being a very niche music podcast, I connected and we kind of started talking, and Russ made me very nervous at first because, you know, as you'll find as you talk to him more, the guy knows a lot about music. And I was just like, oh, no, oh, no. But I was like, I felt drawn. I was like, I wanted to talk to him. So we became like Twitter friends and messaged on there through our podcasts and stuff. And then he was still part of a podcast network, the Odd Pods Media Network, and they were looking for new shows to join. So I was like, oh, how about my little show? Hello. And so I ended up joining this podcast network. And then we kind of went from being like Twitter friends to like, hey, we're in this network together. And like, he was my go-to guy for a lot of stuff. And then he evolved into the person that I just wanted to go to when something cool happened to me. And so I was like, this is interesting. I've never like shared space with him, but he is the person that like we've been on each other's, you know, shows. We've had face-to-face conversations. Like we were talking every day. And I was like, I think I found my person. And then we realized how many moving pieces there were into making us actually be able to be each other's person. And so we were just like, well, let's rip all the Band-Aids off and start making this happen.
Yeah, that's true. My version makes me sound like such a bigger jerk.
Oh, no.
So I am what I refer to as a recovering music snob. I do not generally want to hear what anyone else has to say.
All right.
Yeah, I'm convinced that I'm right all the time, or was recently, up until recently. And because of that, my whole life I've been a huge Weird Al fan because I love music so deeply, and Weird Al gets music on a level that people who go, oh, isn't that the Eat It guy or isn't that the Amish Paradise guy? They do not understand on what a deep level Weird Al operates. So when I heard of the Beard Al podcast, being the music snob that I was, I said, and I'm not kidding, out loud, I said, I'll be the judge of that. And then listened to them, and I found the host of that show to be delightful and understand on a deep level exactly what Weird Al is trying to do and has been trying to do. And I was like, wow, I can't even believe that this is happening. Like, I'm learning a lesson to not be a music snob, and that this person understands this artist that everyone thinks is, in the nicest way I can say it, a joke. Like, that she gets this person the way I do, and that must mean that she understands all these other things about music the way that I do. And as Lauren said, at that point, it was like, well, let's figure out how to make that 1,000 miles disappear.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I am still in Florida. And
and I am now in
Florida.
Florida.
I mean, that's meeting in the middle, right, guys?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, absolutely. It's the way it should have gone. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
To be fair.
To be fair.
I bought a house.
Okay. Those are ugly.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot, you know. We're coming up on almost exactly 2 years of all of this going down, because we just this past March celebrated our first wedding anniversary. And yeah, because it was very much one of those, like, when you know, kind of situations. This is simultaneously the most crazy thing that either of us has ever done, but also the most correct thing that either of us has ever done. As you know, like, when you, I think in the past 2 years since Russ has been here, and since our life together has started, there has not been a single moment where I've had to, like, pretend that I'm anything other than myself.
No, you know, sure.
I've been able to be like 100% who I am all the time.
If anything, if I may, there's been moments where you've gone, oh, was that too much? I'm being serious.
That's fair.
And I've been like, no. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So I kind of started describing myself, and I think everyone could do this, as Brussels sprouts. I'm Brussels sprouts. Some people are going to like me, and the people who like me absolutely love me. But I also know a lot of people aren't going to like me, and that's okay. I'm not going to stop being Brussels sprouts.
That's fair. You know, and I think both of us coming from the Weird Al space, well, me more specifically from the Weird Al space, both of us having
Well, I'm saying I bought my first Weird Al album before you were born.
Okay.
So careful now.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm really going to say this, like, Weird Al is iconic to me. I grew up, and that was like my first, his music got me into other music. I was listening to parody songs before I listened to real songs, right?
Yes.
And that's a great accomplishment that Weird Al does for a lot of people. But like, now that he's brought the two of you together and created this love story, like, that has to be like high up on his list. I mean, I don't know if he knows about this, but he does.
We did a meet and greet together. Well, okay, I did a meet and greet almost 2 years ago, and when Al saw me, he looked at me and he was like, oh my gosh, that's you. And like, because he knew the podcast, and I was like,
that's
my god,
so cool.
Yeah. So I have a poster in the house here that says, Lauren, love the podcast. XOXO Weird Al Yankovic. And that's pretty magical to have and know that that happened.
But then tell them what happened when you and I and Weird Al were in the same room. And please tell the story from the perspective of a person who literally bought a Weird Al album before you were alive on this earth.
So we walk up to where Weird Al is. And because it's like in the time to like just post COVID, there's still like a plastic sheet between Al and like the people. So you can't like physically touch him, but like you can talk to him and see and things.
And then I began to pour my heart out to Weird Al. And then what happened?
Weird Al sees me, puts his arms out.
Threw himself against the plastic.
To hug me if he could have hugged me. And said, hey, it's you.
And then said what to me?
Oh, hi.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. Yes.
That happened.
That did happen. But in that moment, like at that same meet and greet, I did tell Weird Al, I gave him kind of the very high level Cliff Notes version. I was like, I met him because of you, and because of you, I'm the happiest I've ever been. So this is all your fault.
And then Weird Al turned to me and said, neat.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I was like, but I bought in 3D much before she was born. And he was like, cool.
So to all the Roosevelt's insiders, this is going to be our official greeting for the Robinson. We're going to go up to Lauren and give big hugs. And then yes. We're going to look over at Russ and say, oh, hi.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. And then walk away.
First of all, I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take that. I'm a cartoon. So like, hug me.
Son of a beast.
I'm just kidding. Russ is getting hugs too. Come on, guy. Russ is getting hugs too.
He's cuddly.
Russ was basically Lauren's entourage at that meet and greet.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. He was my people.
Yeah, yep. And that was it. And that's all you were to Weird Al that day was.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, you're the plus one. I got it.
Yeah, which like I'm totally fine with in life, but like this is gonna age me super hard. But anybody listening knows the Chris Farley show that he used to do on SNL with like Paul McCartney, where he'd be like, "Do you remember the Beatles?" That was awesome. Like that's all I was gonna say to Weird Al, anyways. You know, like all I was gonna do was be like, "Do you remember Eat It?" That was awesome. Like that's all I was gonna say, anyways.
Yeah.
So the fact that he like adored my wife, I was like, oh well, I guess that's much cooler. You know?
Thank you, and I appreciate that. He's I don't have much. I just have Weird Al. You know. Not much, but I'm not weird. You know, but as part of my journey with the Beard Al podcast, I actually did a full length episode long interview with Eric Appel, the director of Weird, the Al Yankovic Story that streamed exclusively on Roku.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's great, right?
Yeah, and he was so freaking cool. He was so nice.
How did you get that interview?
I got that interview because Russ is better at the internet than I am.
Fair enough.
Do you remember?
By the way, just to be clear, also the director of the Weird Al movie was like, neat, let me talk to your wife.
Man, Russ gets no love.
I also interviewed the two guys who created and designed the Weird Al pinball machine.
Son of a bitch. Was that me too?
That was you too.
God damn it.
Russ teased me up for all this stuff and then I'd knock it out the park, you know?
Oh, because I kept tagging them.
Because you kept tagging them.
Son of a bee. Apparently, if I want to talk to someone, it's not happening. But if you want to talk to someone, see me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's wild. That's a good tag team, guys. Like, I mean, come on now. Don't get upset. Like, share the love.
Oh, no. Great tag team. I'm not upset at all.
All right. So you guys are big Weird Al fans. We're big Weird Al fans. So what is, I'm going to go down the line here. We're going to go Lauren, then Russ, then Ollie. What is your favorite Weird Al song?
Oh, Ooh. Boy. I'm
going to narrow it down for you first, though.
Okay.
We got to do, you get two, parody and original.
Son of a bee.
What about a polka? No. Okay. Okay.
Ollie lied when he said we didn't ask the hard-hitting questions.
Like, no. Like, this is tough. This is one of those things that changes day by day. But I'm going to go with, as far as my original goes, I have to go with a song off of Weird Al's self-titled debut album. It's called I'll Be Mellow When I'm Dead. because that is pretty much my theme song as a person. You know, it's got lines in it like, don't ask me what I'm into. I don't need to prove I'm cool. It's very much a, like, look it, I know what I'm about and I'm just going to keep like, I'd rather kick and jump and bite and scratch and scream until I'm blue. Like, it's another line from the song. And it's just like, I'm just going to do what I do. And that song is awesome. And it's me. I feel it. Like, that's my song, like, as a person, as far as an original goes.
Original.
It's an original, yeah.
Parody.
My favorite Weird Al parody today, right now.
Remember, it's not pastiche.
No, I know I'm going parody. It's got to be a direct parody. It's going to be direct. I'm going to go, I Want a New Duck.
Really?
Right now, in this moment, that's gun to my head. That's what I'm going with. That could change tomorrow. That could change by the time this airs. But right now, it's I Want a New Duck because I'm in a very Huey Lewis space.
My favorite part in that parody is, Holly, get down, baby. Get it?
Okay, so I told a story on my show.
I know.
About the line, so I Want a New Duck as a parody of I Want a New Drug by Huey Lewis and the News.
Which, in a way, is a parody of Ghostbusters by
Ray other way Parker around. Jr. Yeah, I know.
I mean, the courts decided that one.
Yes. So.
Get it?
There's a line in the middle. It's like, show me how to get down, baby. Get it? And for my entire life up until embarrassingly recently, probably like 5-6 years ago, I thought nothing of that line. And then it was like, I was driving, listening to I Want a New Duck in the car, as one does. And I heard that line and I was like, oh my God, I got the joke in the moment. And I screamed at myself in the car, oh my God, I get it. Because down, it's a duck, how to get down. Like, it's a joke about duck feathers. I'm like, oh, God damn it. I'm so stupid. And I've been stupid my whole life because I didn't get this joke. So anyway, that's going to be my joke in this moment. My favorite parody in this moment, rather, because it's a great song off of a great Weird Al album.
Love
it. Weird album.
It's off of a great Weird album. Yeah.
I think Russ is up.
Okay. So my favorite original song by Weird Al is actually a song that he is on film as saying he hates this song.
Well, he's not on film.
He isn't hate it. He just strongly.
I heard him say that.
He strongly dislikes this song.
Yeah, because he's a little embarrassed of how low-hanging fruit it is.
And I don't care at all. I am here for the low-hanging fruit. There's a song from the record Poodle Hat called Party at the Leper Colony.
Oh my God, I love that one.
We played it at our wedding reception.
First of all, it's a hand jive, which in and of itself is a joke. Like the style of, I know, the style of song in and of itself is a joke. And then the entirety of the, I don't know, 3.5 or 4 minutes of it are all puns about having leprosy.
There's a guy in the hot tub, I don't know who.
Wait a minute, it looks like Stu.
Like Stu.
I oozed up beside me and turned my
charm. Before I knew it, she was completely disarmed.
I mean, come on. I said, now girl, now don't go to pieces on me.
And then she cried her eyes out, literally.
I mean, damn it. The whole song is so perfect. And I am ashamed for Weird Al that he has said that this song is not his favorite. I adore it. I adore this song so much.
It's so good.
I'm sure he probably caught some heat for being offensive to people with a disability. And I'm sure that's where that comes from.
Is leprosy still a thing?
Yes.
Really?
It really is. Not so much here in the, you know, in the developed world, but in, you know, less developed parts of the world, yes, leprosy still exists.
Let me answer that like this. Would a party at the leper colony help the cause?
I don't think so.
Am I wrong for asking?
Maybe a party for the leper colony.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Heal the world. Let's all come together. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. I'm with you.
I threw out an idea. You threw out an idea. Now we're having a party for the leper colony.
There you go. I like it.
And they would still have finger food and a nice cold cake.
And it won't cost you an arm and a leg.
It will not cost you an arm and a leg.
And that's you could
still dance all night to a rotten band.
Come on, people.
And people, gosh. you could still give them a hand. That's my favorite original. There's nothing that in the Weird Al echelon, all 14 LPs.
Yeah, his oeuvre.
I love when you use that word, oeuvre. Nothing in his entire echelon of original material comes close to touching that for me.
Wow. All right. Am I up next, Molly?
No, well, you can parody.
You're up, Molly.
I have a parody ready.
Oh, yes, it was parody. Yeah.
We talked too long about that original.
My favorite parody is very controversial.
Oh, well, we love controversy.
We love controversy here.
I am not here for the Smells Like Nirvana. I'm not here for the Living with a Hernia. I'm not here for the Eat It. I'm not here for the Fat. Talk to me about the even worse track, Alimony. That is my all-time favorite Weird Al parody. It's not just a parody of Billy Idol doing the Tommy James classic Money Money. It's a parody of a specific version of Billy Idol doing that. Billy Idol had this like faux live version of Money Money that was a hit, and Weird Al chose to do a parody of that.
And that was the one that was on MTV all the time, right?
Oh my Lord, yes.
Okay, that's the one I know.
Yes. And my man opened up with, "Here she comes now, wants her alimony, bleeding me dry as a stony. And even the breakdown on it, she wants her alimony. Oh, she does. I want her alimony, or she'll sue. I want her alimony. Yeah, money. It's perfect. It is perfect. It makes my heart happy as the day is long. I don't know how family friendly your show is, so I will say I took crap on Lauren's show. Because that's my favorite track on that record. And people came for Lauren on Twitter because that was my favorite song on that record.
Wow.
Red flag, honey.
Yeah.
I will tell you, Russ, I played that tape cassette. That's how old I am, right? I didn't have that on CD. That was tape cassette.
As you're saying that, I'm looking at a copy of it on vinyl, so go on.
Yeah, and I played that tape cassette over, and that was my first Weird Al album, and that thing was on all the time. I had the dual tape cassette, and that thing was on. I was making copies for all my friends, my parents.
Doing the Lord's work.
My parents were, yeah, exactly.
If I may, as Jesus would have wanted.
Right. Yeah.
For you that pass around Weird Al albums.
My mom actually got a phone call from one of my friends down the street asking if she knew that I was making these tapes for their kids that were inappropriate.
Oh.
How is Weird Al?
It's not smut. Come on.
No.
Well, I don't know if you've seen Weird the Al Yankovic story, but he was attending polka parties.
At a very young age, he should not have been.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not like he was distributing, you know, Adam Sandler tapes.
Well,
right?
I would argue a polka party is worse. Soon after Weird Al, I was dubbing Dennis Leary's "No Tear for Cancer" standard.
Yeah,
and that one was a little. That one, my parents probably deserved a phone call. I don't think we got one because we were smart enough not to like play it in front of our parents. But yeah, we definitely had that going.
We don't have to go too far off, but when you said Adam Sandler tapes, I just literally just last weekend played a couple of tracks for Lauren off of Adam Sandler's second record. What the hell happened to me?
My favorite.
Yeah. The first track, I'm Joining a Cult. I played that for Lauren, and halfway through she was like, "Why did I marry you?" And then directly after that, I played the Goat.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, well, you button hooked me. You son, you better not mention that again. And she was like, "Why is this funny?" And I was like, "Listen."
Well, in my defense, I wasn't listening to that at the time. And to flip the coin on it, just because there may be somebody here who's in my camp with this, any of the Space Ghost Coast to Coast albums with Brack.
Yes.
That was my jam at the time. Andy Merrill, Brack, he is my friend now. He's been on my show twice. We're like,
oh,
legit,
my gosh.
Yeah, we're legit buddies. He's the coolest.
The Budapest thing.
Yes, our song is Budapest by George Ezra. And for our wedding, he recorded himself singing Budapest as Brack playing the ukulele and sent it to us.
And hold on. And literally sent you a message going, this took several takes because I kept getting choked up. So like Brack was getting choked up trying to sing our song.
So it was like Brack, like, how is she in Budapest, man? It was Brack doing it. And I was like, oh my God. Like if 12-year-old me would have known that this was going to happen, I probably would have pooped everywhere. Yeah,
but also still the GOAT though. The GOAT by Adam Sandler is hilarious.
So hold on. I haven't done this in years. I'm going to try it for you. It's probably been 15 years.
Oh, please do it.
Sit in my own little cloud. Nobody comes to sit with me on my little cloud.
Oh, why? Maybe because I'm Cat Muffins.
You unlocked that. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. That's very good. That's very good.
You have to send that to him when this episode goes
live. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll send this. I will tag Andy Merrill in this, be like, hey, check it out.
I absolutely adored that show. So thank you for unlocking that memory.
Oh, but that's just some core memory stuff that just kind of lives there.
That dude apologized to us and was like, I have to be at a con that weekend, and so I can't be at your wedding. And I was like, did I just get apologized to by Brack for not being able to make our wedding? All right. I married well. You know?
So they go out together and she gets something called a salad. And he eats a big piece of beef. He eats.
And I know. Hold on. Understand. I don't know if y'all know the song Budapest by George Ezra, but that's our song. And Brack sang it for us and had to do several takes because he got choked up. Yeah. And I was like,
he pointed the camera up at the ceiling because he was like, I'm sorry you're seeing my ceiling, but like I kept getting choked up so I couldn't have the camera on my face.
Yeah.
So on my face.
And I was like, that's one of those moments where you're like, is this real life?
I know, right? It's crazy. Like, it's so crazy. And first of all, Andy Merrill is probably like, he's one of the nicest, like most like real, like normal, like genuine people. And he's got a lot of like fun, cool voice acting project that he's working on right now. Like he's doing what he can.
In approval mode.
I know.
I know. Did you guys hear Lauren just slide right into
Plug it. Hold on, Lauren. Lauren, give me just a few bars of driving down Highway 40.
I'm driving down Highway 40 in my old big old truck. Driving down Highway 40 in my big old pickup truck. What? Highway 92. No, that's not it. Highway 40. Highway 40. Yep, that's the one.
Do you have any idea what we're talking about?
Nope.
What's great about this?
Hand to God. I don't either.
That's okay. It's okay. This is radio for two, and I'm cool with it. So now, and what's very interesting is you bring any of this stuff up to Andy Merrill, and he's like, I don't actually remember that very much because it was all improv in the booth. So he's like, yeah, I did that one time 30 years ago, and I forgot about it.
We talked about that. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, because I looked him like dead in the face, and I was like, and I'd sing like something about it. And he's like, yeah, I literally do not remember that. And I'm like, oh my God, because that like lives in my bones.
I know. Just very quickly, and I assure you, I don't want to take this off anywhere else. A friend of ours used to be in Guns N' Roses.
Oh yeah.
And we do this same thing where I go, there was that show in 97 where you guys played this at, and he's like, none of us remember that.
And I'm like,
all right, cool. Like, I will shut up and then I will remember this. And he's like, sweet.
It's so yeah, that's how it goes. So,
yeah, for sure. Well, I did not see Space Ghost Coast to Coast coming up today.
Well, you know, I don't know who you're talking to.
I thought I did, but apparently not.
I'm an onion of weird nerd crap.
That is the beauty of bringing different people together. Like we like going off the rails. It's fun.
So I want to follow this comedy music rabbit hole and see how far we align on this. Because Weird Al leads you to other things, right? So everyone, he's the big one. I'll start off easy here. Flight of the Conchords.
I am like super into them.
Yeah, me either.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Maybe for me, it was like the moment in time I was introduced to them. I've seen them in concert, but all right, I'm going to go deeper then. Well, we talked about Adam Sandler, Stephen Lynch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure. Stephen Lynch.
Good. I thought you were going to leave me hanging.
No.
I haven't listened to Stephen Lynch in a long time, but I remember loving him when I first heard his stuff.
Yeah, he's like the one where you're like, oh, this makes Weird Al seem very tame.
Yeah.
And then the one band that I love that no one else has ever heard of, they're from Australia. They're called Tripod.
I've heard of them. I don't
know. All right. I'm going to send you guys some Tripod.
Okay.
It's fantastic. I promise.
No, okay. No, you should do that. And then I can in turn.
Can I guess maybe this is remedial, but I thought you were going to go from Stephen Lynch to Bo Burnham.
Yeah. So Bo Burnham is absolutely hit and miss for me. He is.
I feel about Flight of the Conchords.
I think Inside is a work of art.
Well, that
100%.
Is.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is a comedy, musical drama that makes you feel something. It is an odd thing to watch, but I absolutely loved it. Yes.
It's like it's one of those things. It's a very human thing insofar as like you can laugh and also feel like very sad and alone at the same time.
Yeah. Well, and it came out at the right time.
It came out. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what it was born of, right? Yeah. And I think that whole piece speaks to what humor can do for people, you know? Like,
sure.
I think that elevates humor. That's an example that you can show to somebody who's not like a comedy music person and show them how deep comedy music can be, and that can open the door for other things, you know, because I have spent my entire life having people be like, oh, well, it's just Weird Al, though. And I'm like, excuse me.
No.
That's such an offensive
phrase. It absolutely is. And trust me, I've lived my life, like, dealing with that. But the whole Bo Burnham Inside thing, that is arty enough for people that, like, aren't into comedy music for them to be like, oh, I get this. And then you can ease them in to other things with that. So it's an interesting space, you know, because there's a whole swath of stuff. We're actually recording this on Tom Lehrer's birthday.
Oh, I love Tom. I love Tom.
That's amazing.
So
look at that.
There's
look at
that, you know, spring is here. Us up a ring is here. Life is pickles and life is beer.
Maybe are we going to go poison some pigeons in the park?
You know, we've gained notoriety and caused much anxiety in the Audubon Society with our game. Yes.
You did that on our YouTube channel.
I did.
You did. You talked about that track.
I did.
That's awesome. My favorite one, because I've played it for all three of my kids at different stages, because, you know, they're different ages. Every time they bring home new math, and each kid had different new math. So I had to have Tom explain new math to us.
That's great. Bring it full circle back to Weird Al.
There's a Bo Burnham track called New Math.
There is a Bo Burnham track called New Math. I was just going to
No, you do you. I'm just saying.
I was just going to say that Daniel Radcliffe sang the song The Elements by Tom Lehrer on the Graham Norton show. And that is what made him Weird Al in the Weird Al Yankovic Story movie.
That and his incredible likeness to Weird Al.
Well, with the muscles.
Yeah. He is built in the same way that Weird Al is built.
I mean, that's very true.
I gotta tell
you. Like if somebody was gonna do a If somebody today was going to do a Dwayne Johnson story, they would want the most ripped person of all time to do it, which is what they did with Weird Al. They got Daniel Radcliffe, who is built muscularly exactly the same as Weird Al.
I got to tell you, the first time I watched The Sorcerer's Stone, I looked right at that screen. I said, God damn it, that kid is going to be Weird Al.
That kid looks exactly like Weird Al. That's how I felt. I think all of us did. I think when Weird Al watched it, he was probably taken out of it. He was like, I don't even see Harry Potter.
The rumor mill has him as Wolverine, possibly in the future.
Weird Al?
Wait.
No, Daniel
Weird Radcliffe.
Radcliffe. So,
are you
Wolverine?
Wait, hold
Weird
on.
Weird Al is Wolverine?
Hold on. Weird Wolverine?
Wow. That's a shirt.
Wait, why would Daniel Radcliffe play Wolverine?
Weird Al is
the guy with the muscles. Yeah?
There have just been a lot of weird Photoshops. And then with all the time travel that started going on in the second Deadpool movie, there's a lot of like, oh, there could be multiple universes and he may be one of the Wolverines we see in the next Deadpool Wolverine movie.
I think it's more fan fiction, but maybe. I don't know enough to argue, but I feel like Weird Al hasn't been in any of those things you just said. Am I wrong? I mean,
you have to look.
The satire is thick today, folks.
Am I wrong? I'm pretty sure.
You would know better than I.
Pretty sure he was an Endgame. If you slow down the final battle scene, I'm pretty sure Weird Al's an Endgame, right there next to Howard the Duck. I'm pretty sure I saw him for a brief second in that fight scene.
I'm not sure. Maybe you guys would all know better than me. I don't know.
You know, I can tell you that Brett McKenzie from Flight of the Conchords is in Lord of the Rings.
Oh wow!
He's the pretty male elf is how people describe him.
Before you do your thing, I want to be clear that my wife was just giving you her Owen Wilson impression of dismissal. She went, "Oh wow,
wow!"
That was her impression of dismissal. But please continue to tell us about.
Tell us about pretty male elves.
I feel like Laura was going somewhere.
I was
going
to say, was Orlando Bloom in Flight of the Conchords?
Right. Orlando Bloom, Legolas. That's the pretty male elf. That's what I don't get.
Pretty male elf. Yeah. When it came out of the
hole. That guy from Pretty Deadly is the. Yes, boy.
Yes, boy.
Wow.
Okay. We just worked in WWE.
All right. Well,
we're all over the place. I love it.
Before we go too far down this rabbit hole, I do want to switch gears a tad because I think we can go Weird Al and music all night, but we have so much more to cover. So I want to shift over into Roosevelts, if everybody's on board with that.
Of course.
We're wearing them.
Of course.
We're wearing them right now.
Yeah.
Right now. The good walking impression.
Now,
which one of you was the first to find Roosevelt's?
That would be me, sir.
Oh, and you introduced Russ to Roosevelt's?
Oh, Aaron Williams shamed me into wearing Roosevelt's.
That is what happened.
Quiet, shy Aaron Williams, that guy and same guy?
Yeah. So.
You might know him as the Whale Hunter.
Okay.
Never heard of him.
So I will start this story very briefly here. I got my Roosevelts and I met Aaron because he's local, you know, to me here. And we became acquainted with each other through the shirts and all this, that, and the other. I had like one or two, you know, at the time. And for me, it wasn't like a thing, you know, it was just like, oh, hey, these are neat, you know. And I'll roll with that. And then Russ got here and he had a couple just like bright shirts, but they were not Roosevelt's shirts, you know. And, you know, us, we're about, you know, about and around town and posting pictures of ourselves and our shirts. And Aaron started commenting on the pictures that we were posting to each other. It was like, looks like a good time. Got to get him a new shirt, though. like, on everything.
He's subtle too, isn't he?
He's very subtle. He's very subtle, you know? And so, you know, Russ looks at me and he's like, who is this guy? Like, what is going on? Why is this happening? Why does he care what I'm wearing? You know? And I'm like, okay, so it's a whole thing. And well, then I started to.
Side note, I'm from Detroit and we don't, as the kids say, we don't F around. So every single time this guy who I've never met in my life commented and was like, but his shirt though, I was like, I will meet you across town and I will bring a box cutter. Like, come at me about my shirt.
Whoa.
Like, yeah. Like, well, I mean, grew up in Detroit, you know? And so she bought me my first shirt. And
Which one was it? Your first one?
DX.
The DX one, yes.
Yeah. You know, if you're not down
red
with that.
Red tag, bitches.
Oh.
Red tag.
I just want to say that hold on. I want to be something clear on something. I've censored myself this entire time.
I mark every episode as explicit because I can't remember what I said. So let it fly.
Okay.
But I just wanted noted for the record that I have censored myself and she's the one.
Look, I figured if they'd say it on network TV, I'm okay.
Well, we're going with what Rock says on network TV now. So having said that, I literally went to Lauren and I was like, I don't know who this guy is, but I think that I'm going to kill him because he will not stop insulting my shorts and my shirts and everything I'm wearing in public. And she was like, nah, he's cool.
I literally was like, nah, he's cool though.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So then what's great about Aaron is the man has follow through. So the very first time that she bought me a Roosevelt shirt, and we were in public, he was like, yeah, that's right. Like, that was like what he read. That's like all he left is a comment. And I was like, oh, finally. Oh, I'm good enough for this guy. You know? And it's a long story, but like.
This sounds like low key, like internet bullying. You know what I mean? Sounds like Whale Hunter was like doing like little bullying almost.
Oh, no. It was just very aggressive peer pressure.
Which is what I think the kids call bullying.
That's up there with alternative facts. Thanks, Lauren. I like that.
It was really enthusiastic, aggressive.
Okay, that's my truth, so.
Oh, my God.
She knows I can't stand that. She knows I can't stand that phrase.
Russ, as a native of Detroit, can you help me out with something?
Detroit pizza.
Okay.
There's no such thing as Detroit pizza, but go on.
Oh, well, then maybe my apology will fall on deaf ears. I talk some shit about Detroit-style pizza.
I heard that episode. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've had it twice since then. And, well, actually, one time I don't remember because it was Vegas and I was drunk. But I did have some amazing Detroit-style pizza in Tacoma and blew my mind. So I had to retract that, and I needed someone from Detroit to officially apologize to. So
here it is.
Russ, native of Detroit, I am sorry. Your pizza is amazing. That is all.
I am so the wrong person for this conversation.
Listen to me. You are absolved.
You are absolved. Hold on. In the best way that I can say this, you are forgiven for your sins. But I cannot. Lauren knows this. We have a group chat with my friends back in Detroit. I do not believe there's such a thing as Detroit style pizza. I think it's made up. I think it's just deep dish.
It's just square deep
it's
dish.
It's just square pizza. And so I've been, you talked to me about there's Detroit style music. That's a proven thing. But you cannot tell me that there's such a thing as Detroit style pizza. You just can't. And so
Come after Russ now and leave me alone.
Listen to me when I say it. Bring all of it at me. Lauren knows I will. Oh, no. I will F you up on social media. Come at me about there being such a thing as Detroit style pizza. It's not a thing. I assure you, it's just not a thing. I wanted
that's aggressive. What did we call it, Lauren?
Aggressive peer pressure.
Yeah. Aggressive peer pressure. He will aggressively peer pressure you on the internet.
Just believing just that there is thing. Not destroy.
It's just not a thing. It's no, just not a thing.
How about this? I'm going to go like this. All right.
I lived there my whole life. It's just not a thing.
I know you have. And here's what I'm going to say. And you're going to agree with me. So let's just leave it what this is.
I'm going to calm it down.
Detroit style pizza is as real as South Detroit.
Oh.
Born and raised in South.
Born and raised. Not a place.
So many people are going to lose that joke, but I love that you made it.
Yeah. So,
you're welcome.
So I come from a very opinionated, strong Italian family. I don't know of any Italian family that isn't strongly opinionated.
I was going to say.
Bibbidi-bobbidi-boop.
Yeah.
Peter reference.
And so we have had strong conversations in our family regarding pizza. If you've seen the episode of the Christmas episode of The Bear, if you remember that dinner party, that's, you know, we have a lot of strong conversations like that. And a lot of people think that Detroit style pizza, I'm doing air quotes, you can't see them, but I'm doing them, is just square, deep dish, or Sicilian style pizza.
No, that's what it is.
That's because that's what.
But I do have some people in my family that are very methodical and scientific, and they tend to research these things. Like, I tend to argue from my heart, and I'm very passionate. Sometimes I'm wrong because I'm just too pig-headed and stubborn. But I have been told that the difference that makes the pizza different is that it's not, and I could be wrong, I don't know, but a real Detroit pizza, air quotes again, doesn't use mozzarella cheese. They use cheese from Wisconsin. That is not mozzarella.
That's fair. Damn it.
All right. But you're talking square deep dish, right?
Yeah.
You're taking square deep dish pizza and you're throwing a blended cheese from Wisconsin on it, right? And then you're just laughing, hey, we're in Detroit. We have our own pizza now, right?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yes. You don't get to just be like, we did pizza slightly different, and so that's our style. That's how.
The boss on The Incredibles, the law requires that I say no.
Bro, check this out. So we got an East Coast family in town in Carlsbad, California, and they opened a
ABC,
place. They opened a place called Notorious Burgers, right? Notorious Burgers, great burger shop. Then they open a place called Inglorious Bagels. Great name, Inglorious Bagel. And they actually bring the water from Philly, right? And
you can't make bagels without good water. I'm sorry. I have strong opinions about bagel water and pizza dough.
As we say near Canada, I'm sorry about her swearing.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
So they say they're going to open an East Coast pizza shop and they're calling it Victorious Pizza, right? So you got all these names. And we wait a month. It opens up. It's in the bagel shop. Bagels in the morning, pizza in the afternoon and the evening. And I go in. I go, okay, tell me about your pizza. And the guy literally blows my mind in the worst way possible. The worst way possible. I mean, tell me about your pizza. He goes, well, we kind of blended a little bit. So I have a San Francisco sourdough that I use for my crust. And I make it really thin. I make it really thin, like a New York style.
No,
she goes no.
And then my sauce is more of a marinara with basil. Super thick and aggressive. And then I use kind of like a three cheese blend. And I was just like, "And we're out, family."
Did a murderer make that?
"What? We're out."
No.
Well, no, you can keep your sociopath pizza, sir.
But
that's terrible.
I just
right.
Uh-huh.
You can't do a hybrid. You can't do a hybrid.
No, you can't. Look, pizza is a very I'm gonna try and distill this into three very not three. I'm not counting, but I'm going to make this as succinct as I possibly can. there was a pizza shop that opened up near us very, very recently that does like Buffalo, New York style pizza. And it's delicious. And they actually ship the water in from Buffalo to make the pizza. Salvatore's, correct? Yes. Yep. Amazing. We've had it and it's delicious. I am originally from Northeast Pennsylvania. I was born and raised not 20 minutes south of Old Forge, Pennsylvania, which touts itself as the pizza capital of America because it's got a weird pizza that nobody knows that is only good if you live there. Okay?
Go on.
It's a square pizza. It's very hard dough, and it's made with American cheese.
What the hell?
I will tell you what. I will tell you what.
My man said, what the hell?
Yep. And there are people who are from where I'm from who will only eat Old Forge style pizza.
Oh, and you know idiots.
And this is why you don't live there anymore.
Yeah. Well, but if I were going to live somewhere for the pizza, it wouldn't be fucking Jacksonville, Florida. But anyway.
Man, we got a sailor on tonight. I love it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm the one who keeps censoring
you
myself.
You gave me permission. I was good until you said I didn't have to be.
That's true. Carry on.
Anyhow, pizza is a very like divisive and regional thing, but and I feel like you need to keep it in that regional way. So I agree that you should not mix stuff with your pizza. If you're going to make a New York style pizza, make a New York style pizza. If you're going to make a Chicago deep dish, make a Chicago deep dish. If you're going to make a quote unquote Detroit style pizza, make a Detroit style pizza. But 100%. Don't be like, 100%. So we're doing this, we're doing that. It's going to be a little bippity bitty boopity bobbity boop.
I just want.
No, and no one should make South Forge style pizza.
No, you can't.
No one.
I mean, I think. The cafeteria pizza we had as children had some kind of bullshit mozzarella on it. It was like a slice of American mozzarella. I didn't know that's
that
a thing.
That is Old Forge style pizza. Yeah.
And, it
and I guarantee that if there's anybody in Northeast Pennsylvania listening to this right now, they're going to come for me and my disdain for Old Forge style pizza. But I'll
huge.
Tell you what.
Yeah, we're huge there.
Yeah. Oh, not so much great. Northeast Pennsylvania. Not so much Northeast Pennsylvania. More Southeast Pennsylvania is where we're really big, but yeah. So,
because don't talk to me about Philadelphia then. Anyhow, Old Forge style pizza, it's an acquired taste. I will tell
you. No one should acquire that taste ever.
Unless you go to Ravello's. That's my line.
Well,
Ravello's
is
good Old Forge style pizza.
This is leading us right into our five random questions for you guys. So I couldn't be more excited to get to this point. So,
and be honest. Game, one of these questions is not random.
It's always the same question one, and I feel like we're going to have some strong feelings about this, and I'm here for it. Where do you guys stand on pineapple on pizza?
Pro. Hard pro.
What?
Hard no.
Oh.
Get your sweet toppings the F off of my pizza, and notice how I've censored myself.
Let's get it one time. You don't have to censor yourself. You can say it.
No
pineapple. You can say it, dude. Come on.
No.
This is the same place.
Hey, I'm for the children.
Aggressive peer pressure. Aggressive peer pressure.
Get
cool throwback.
Me, like the Wu-Tang Clan, are for the children. Get your sweet toppings the F off of my pizza.
Okay.
Well, you know.
And you guys make this marriage work. I commend both of you because this is such a divisive question.
It really is. It's about compromise. When we order pizza and we're going to order a pie together, we both make compromises. If we're making pizza.
Which, by the way, when we order pizza, it's from Jets, who has one location here in Jacksonville. And all of the rest of their locations are in from Detroit. And they make no silly claims like they're Detroit style pizza because there's no such thing. And when we do, we order pineapple on her half and regular toppings for people with regular taste buds on my half.
Regular.
Yeah. Wow. I'm fine with regular. I'm okay with regular.
The rest of us are enhanced. Like we have superpowers. I get it.
Yes.
Cool.
Or we're irregular.
Right.
Yes.
Or both.
And irregular is great. We love the irregular here. Well, I haven't been really keeping score, but if I were to look back on the episodes, I think it's got to be something like 20-4 in favor of Pineapple to this point. So
yeah, Pineapple's is victory lapping right now.
So. Gross, but go on.
So, question number two. This is, you know, I'm not trying to create controversy between you guys, but I want to know which one of you is the cleaner of the two in the household?
Uh oh.
Mm-hmm. Mama.
Probably Russ. I will put it this way. I am more like a cleaner, going to wipe off counters kind of clean person. I'm going to mop a floor kind of clean person. I'm going to like dust kind of clean person. Russ is a I don't like clutter kind of clean person.
I do a lot of this in the house. Oh, so you're just going to leave all of that right there? Okay. And then I move it.
Yeah, and I'm very much a like, what's this weird spot on the counter?
And I'm like, well, who cares?
I'm going to wipe that down. Or like, when was the last time we dusted this? I'm going to do that.
And I'm like, who's to say and who cares?
Right. Or I'm going to be like, we should sweep.
Whereas like, I would say, I do not care.
So I like, guess, yeah, he's the stuff guy. I'm the clean things guy. I'll put it to this way. If one of us is going to clean a toilet, it's going to be me.
Oh, for sure.
Lauren, do you go into like this power cleaning mode where all of a sudden it's like top to bottom, like you're doing floors, you're dusting, you're doing toilets, it's just a deep, deep clean?
Yeah, kind of. It's like I will see a thing which will lead me to other things kind of moment. So I'll get on a tear and then that'll be it.
Here's a way to define the difference between us. I do not want to touch wet hair.
Oh, okay. I'm the dry cleaner. You're the wet. Yeah. I'm the wet cleaner. Yeah. You're the dry cleaner.
If there is any wet hair, do not have any of that near me with gloves or not. I want nothing to do with that. Whereas you're like, look at all this wet hair I just pulled out of something.
Not so wet hair everywhere. We just have a very long haired German Shepherd.
Yeah, I was going to say, not that we just have wet hair everywhere.
It's wet hair.
It's not like the entirety of Whitesnake ran around our.
If you're looking to get Ross an early Christmas gift, just get him a bag, a Ziploc bag full of wet hair and pineapple.
Send a bag of dry hair and I'll make it wet for you.
Or another option is to never do that. That's another option.
We'll just put that one out there too. I think that's
just if you do no return address on that label, folks, just so you know, he doesn't need to know where you live.
All right. Next question. You got to, unfortunately, there's a fire in your house and you have time to go back in and grab one item. What are you grabbing?
Do pets count as items?
No, your pets are safe. Your pets are
pets
all
are out. They're with you.
They're all with you.
For me, it is going to be the poster that Weird Al Yankovic signed that said, Lauren, love the podcast. XOXO Weird Al Yankovic.
All right, Russ.
I don't know. The Michael Jackson painting. That I love.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
We're going to need more on that Michael Jackson, but.
Well, short version, we went to a tapas place.
Tapas bar called The Goat.
Yeah. And when we walked in, I was like, Jesus H. Christ, that painting of Michael Jackson is so astute. Like, it's a good painting of him. Like, I really want that. And then we drank a lot and ate a lot
of tapas.
And the next day I texted the artist and was like, hey, can I have this? And she was like, not for this much. And I was like, please for some less. And then we decided on a price and it makes me happy. And it's in the living room. So
I've been told don't buy it unless you have to have it. And it sounds like you just had to have that.
Yep.
Well, those are both great choices. Ollie, what are you grabbing?
Oh, this is coming back around to me. Okay. Ooh.
Oh,
damn.
Did you just have a moment? Just now? You were like,
I'm not attached to my stuff, right? Like, so like, yeah, I have my favorite shirts and things like that. I would say
By what brand?
It's a President. I think it's like Monroe's. Like, no, that's not. It's not Monroe's.
Taft. No, I know what you mean. Carter's.
Carters.
Yes.
What am the Warren G. Hardings.
Yeah. I heard you can buy Carters for peanuts.
you can then.
Wow. So I have a set of first edition, these are family heirlooms, first edition Wizard of Oz books.
Oh.
They were handed down from my great-grandmother. And about, I don't know, 15 years ago, I had them shrink-wrapped just because they're falling apart. They're not in great condition. One of them is in really good condition. The rest are just basically falling apart because they were read by generations of my family. I would say that is what I would save.
I like cool. that. I like that.
That's you're in the hot seat now, ball game.
I mean, please, but here's look at this way. You shrink wrapped those books, and it's okay because you can just watch the movie.
Yeah, not the same thing.
Bitch, Grace. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my wife.
Or you could, you know, you could suffer. You could suffer and have to watch.
You could just watch the movie.
You could suffer and have to watch Return to Oz instead.
If you guys have ever watched our social media at all, anybody who's ever listened to this, and you see the look on my face, it's mostly because she just said something like that.
You just watched the movie.
Yeah. She was like, you just watched the movie.
To your point there, James, Return to Oz is actually more like an Oz book than anything that's ever been released.
Oh, yeah.
It is an excellent, not completely faithful adaptation, but pretty damn close. So you take that hate and put it back in your mouth.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no. It is a unique movie. And I just think there's a whole generation of children that like whose parents let them watch Wizard of Oz, and it's this happy, joyful movie, you know, minus a few circus monkeys flying around. And then they let them watch Return to Oz and then leave the room. And that thing just destroyed children. That thing just absolutely. I don't mind it, but it just freaking destroyed children.
Beware the Wheelers. All right, James. What are you rescuing from your house?
Well, like, I'm not attached to like my stuff. Like, stuff is cool, but like it's just stuff, right? Like, and I think I moved a while back and I put all my really cool stuff in boxes. It's all still in boxes. So I don't know what that says about me, but right now, I probably, if there's a fire and things are burning down, I'm probably going into my son's room, actually. And I'm going to grab probably he's got this little cool, like, baseball card collection. And baseball cards are different these days. And you put them, like, in a freaking protective briefcase. So I'm just probably going to grab that for him and make sure that he's got what he wants. And then that's it. And if our dogs are outside and my family's outside, then I'm good. And he could have his baseball card collection. That's probably what I'm grabbing, I think. Yeah, not the problem.
Good choice. Good choice.
All right. That's pretty boring. All right. So I'm going to do my last question here. I only got four tonight. So we're going to start.
That's okay. I have a bonus question for Lauren when we're done.
We're going to start with Russ. We've been going ladies first. We're going to start with Russ. Russ, you get commissioned to redesign a new Mount Rushmore. Who are you putting on your personal Mount Rushmore?
Oh.
He's pulling an ollie over there.
Music or
anything?
Movies or
anything, Russ?
Like, I guess what? So the question is what? The four most influential people in my life?
Yeah.
If you want it to be.
Or four icons? Four.
Russ needs more rules, ball game.
Well, I just don't, like, the Mount Rushmore is the four founding fathers.
So Mount Rushmore, the four greatest people that you think are the four greatest people in your life, whether you're a fan of them, the people you know, people you don't know, just four people you're a fan of.
My mother, who taught me to not care what anybody thinks outside of what matters to me most. Like, she taught me to be happy with what makes me happy and not try to impress anyone else. Past that, Elvis Presley, who taught me to really enjoy everything about music, from no matter what the, I don't know, for lack of a better term, for what the genesis of it was, no matter who it comes from, no matter what the walk of life it comes from to enjoy music. Michael Jackson, who taught me to persevere through everything, including when the world decides that you're a terrible person, even though you're not. And then my son, Zach, who makes me look at the world in a way that I've never looked at the world before. So that would be my four.
Solid.
Solid four. Sentimental. I love it. Lauren, who are your four on your Mount Rushmore? Could be anything, anybody.
Oh boy, this is a difficult question. I obviously have to put Weird Al there first because he taught me to just very much just be yourself and that you're good enough for just being yourself. Second for me will be Lucille Ball.
Okay, all right.
On account of the fact that she was a funny, brazen, I don't give a shit about what you think woman when it wasn't cool to do that.
Again with the swearing. I was just being funny.
I know, and it's fine. I was trying to do a Lucy there impression, but it was not good. So I've got Weird Al and Lucille Ball. Like, absolutely. Like, those are my two people there for sure. Oh, this is like music people are generally like my people that are my people. So it's tough to, I'm trying to like branch off from that, but like, I really can't. Like, if I'm put on the spot, it's going to be Stevie Nicks, simply because she worked so hard to be what she was, and she was and still is, you know, her whole thing was like, I don't have to show you a whole bunch of my skin to be sexy kind of person. And I love that about her. Like, she is one of the most beautiful women that ever was, and she never had to do anything other than be herself to do that. And I love that about her. And I guess outside of that, this is very difficult. I'm like looking around this room to be like be inspired by like who we have like hanging around here. And I'm just also just gonna be like, you know what? Who do I think is absolutely fabulous? Do they have to be a real person?
No.
Okay, Frasier.
Frasier Crane.
Dr. Frasier Crane.
I'm listening.
Yeah, exactly. Because he's pretentious, he's smart, but he's also ridiculous and silly. And that's my absolute favorite TV show. And, you know, if somebody were to look at that, they'd be like, yeah, you know what? This whole Mount Rushmore, like, absolutely makes sense for Lauren because there's two women on it and everybody's kind of silly in their own way. So there you go.
I dig it. I think those are great and unique. That's what we're all about. Ollie, what's your Mount Rushmore?
Oh boy, I have three solid. I'm not going to give any explanation. They are what they are.
Can I guess? Can I guess two of them?
Sure.
I'm guessing Walt Disney.
Maybe.
I'm guessing Walt Disney and Tony Gwynn were my two.
God damn it. Okay. So yeah, Walt Disney, Tony Gwynn, Brian Setzer, and Mr. Rogers.
Oh, I knew Mr. Rogers. I should have known that one. Damn it.
That is all.
Fantastic. 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 I'll do mine real quick. So mine, my mom, for many, many reasons that I won't go into. Ken Griffey Jr., my favorite baseball player.
Shocking.
Right. Shocking. But there's a lot of history between Ken and I. Whether Ken knows it or not. Also, Walt Disney. That guy made shit happen for a lot of people. And then my fourth one I kind of struggled with. And then Lauren said, could it be a character? And I was like, you know what? You said yes. And so I'm like, okay, I got to go with Doug Masters. Doug Masters from the movie Iron Eagle. I mean, high school kid, hot wires of Bates, flies a plane to the Middle East, blows up a country, saves his dad. Like, that's pretty iconic. And that was a big movie for my childhood. Yeah, so,
every kid's dream, right?
Right. Like, so, you know, no, that's my four. So,
all right.
You have a bonus question.
I have a bonus question for Lauren because I feel like she really wanted to do this. So I'm going to put it out there. What's your favorite Weird Al polka?
The Hamilton polka.
Well, Beatles.
Yeah. Okay. So we did a whole episode of the show about this. It was a whole bracket situation and I was surprised by how it shook out at the end. But I firmly feel that the Hamilton polka is the culmination of 40 years of doing polka medleys. I actually just put out an episode of the Beard Out podcast about polkas on 45, which is his first polka from the Weird Al Yankovic in 3D album that was released in 1984. And, you know, promo for my own show, we're doing a whole series on the 40th anniversary of Weird Al Yankovic in 3D because it came out 40 years ago. So we're going through that track by track. And very recently did an episode on the Kazan 45 polka. And I'm like, yeah, this is great. It's laying the groundwork for so much stuff. And then you go through his whole career doing all these different polka medleys and yada, yada, blah, blah. And then the Hamilton polka came out and full stop, people can come at me for this and I don't even care. I'm not a Hamilton person. I tried to watch it like 3 times when it came out on Disney Plus.
Is it because Hamilton is just mid?
For me, yes. And I couldn't get through it, but I love the Hamilton polka so much because it is Weird Al firing on all cylinders, doing his art the best way that he can, insofar as like it doesn't matter if you love the source material that he's working with, you can appreciate his mastery in what he does with it. And it's a perfect polka, in my opinion. And I will listen to the Hamilton polka all day, even though I've never watched Hamilton in full.
There it is.
That's it. That's it. I love it. Well, friends, it's 1 hour and 15 minutes in. It's late on the East Coast, so we are going to wrap things up. But there was so much we didn't get to talk about, which is a problem we knew we were going to have. You guys were amazing. So if people are listening, make sure if you're into wrestling and if you're into music, Russ and Lauren run some Roosevelt's adjacent groups. Look, check them out. Join them. They're great. Check out their podcast. Check out their YouTube channels. They're phenomenal. Guys, thank you so much for having us, for joining us. Anything you want to say before we jet?
No, I mean, other than, you know, you can find the Beard Al Podcast at beardalpodcast.com. And if you go to Infectious Groove Music on YouTube, you can catch our videos every week where we, during the week, it's a topic-focused video. It's about 5 things we love about this or what's so great about that. And then the weekend is where we touch on doing reaction videos and then also our vinyl reviews. So you can catch videos from us 3 times a week, and we love doing it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Meet the Robinsons on the See Nobody Cares podcast. Thank you, Russ, and thank you, Lauren, for joining us. He's Brussels sprouts. I'm Ballgame, and we'll see you guys next time.